Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
My wife Katie and I, my wife Katie's in this service. What's up? Hey. We mainly serve at our North Campus, and service leaders there for the 5 o'clock, so we get to party at East and go hang down at the 5 tonight, so it'll be fun. And our two little girls are over there hanging in kids' church, doing their thing, and so we're so excited to be able to hang with you guys. And I normally just have water up on the stage, but I had to give a shout-out to the hospitality teams here and the pour-overs. Come on, somebody. How about those pour-overs? Feel me? Come on, these ladies hooking it up right here. God, it's good. It's real good. I also have had two of these, so this message could get hyped, okay? So get ready for that. Do you love your pastors too, Michael and Lisa? How good are they? You know, as I was remembering when Katie and I first moved down here, our vehicle we had was in the shop, and so we needed a place to go, and someone was helping us scramble around to find an extra vehicle, and all of a sudden, they directed us to the Hundleys. This was years back, and so they supplied our help in the middle of that season, and it was amazing. Lisa just reminded me of that years later. We're like, we don't know who these people are. They didn't know who we are. They're just letting us borrow a car. And so now it's exciting to be able to be back here hanging together and blessing you guys and what God has. And so I'm excited to get into the word this morning. You guys ready? Let's pray and we'll get it going. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence that's here. Holy Spirit, I ask that you just reveal your word to us. You're welcome in this place to teach us, to change us, to transform us. God, let us see something we haven't seen before. Let us walk in a new way when we leave here that we haven't walked before. God, give us strength, give us boldness, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to start out of Joshua chapter 18 in a moment, but we're in a series called Accelerate. And we're talking about going to the next level. How many want to go to the next level in your life, right? If you hang out with C3 very long, you're going to want to go to the next level because that's what we're about. Some people are about that 10X life. Now we're about that 30X. Come on, somebody. Hey, we ain't got time for 10X. You know what I mean? We ain't playing games with 10X anymore. Let's go. But there's a call when you hang out with an environment like this because we understand the word of God. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11 that he's got plans to prosper us and not to harm us, right? To give us a hope in the future. So God's got unbelievable plans for you and me. He's got a destiny and a purpose. And the enemy would often want us to settle where we're at, but God is continuing to invite us into new levels. Continuing to invite us into that next phase of the more that God has for us. But oftentimes it's like, okay, how do we get there? And so the next few moments here, I want to speak to something that I believe helped me and I think will help you guys in really fulfilling what God has for it. So Joshua 18 verse 3 says this, Joshua said to the Israelites, how long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you? How long are you going to wait? I love this question, and just a little bit of the backstory. In case you're unfamiliar, Joshua has just led the children of Israel through the epic, iconic Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, right? So he's led them across the Jordan. They've come up against the mighty army and the city of Jericho, and they march around it, and God does a miracle. The walls fall down, and now they've kind of basically stepped into the promised land. But what happened is, before that, God had told all 12 tribes of Israel, hey, I've got land for each and every one of you. And I'm giving you territory. I've got kind of earmarked territory for each one of your tribes. But here the Israelites had just basically stepped in initially, but have kind of not really began to take the territory God had for them. So Joshua says, how long are you going to wait before you begin to take possession of the land that God has already promised you? And so what we begin to see in this situation is that there's a difference between the promises of God and then taking possession of those promises. You see, God gives promises. God reveals things. God declares things. God has given you something, but you actually have to go in and take possession of that promise. You know, if there's more land, there's more region, there's more influence, there's more impact, there's more to be had in your life, there's more that God has promised you, but you've got to take possession of it. You can't hang back. You can't settle for yesterday's Jericho victory. You've got to take possession of what God has promised you. A lot of times Christians get stuck in this limbo of, man, hey, God said something to me. God has promised it to me, but I don't know why it's not happening. I don't know why I'm still in this situation. And God is saying, listen, you got to begin to take possession. You actually got to walk after it. You got to take hold of it. You know, sometimes even you might get a prophetic word. In a church like C3, we believe in moving in the Holy Spirit. We believe that God is speaking to us. Pastor Michael just prophesied over Shauna. God speaks and brings promises and gives a word over us. But sometimes we think, oh, sweet, because God prophesied it or declared it or God has promised it to me that something's going to automatically happen, and we get confused and disillusioned because stuff isn't happening the way we thought. But the reality is we have to take possession of the promises of God, right? So as I was kind of getting this revelation, I was like, man, this sounds awesome. There's two P's in the title. This is going to preach well. It sounds good. It kind of rhymes a little bit. Take possession of the promises. Everyone's going to love that. But how do we do that? You know what I mean? Okay, how do we actually take possession? What am I talking about? What does it look like? And I felt the Holy Spirit direct me to Hebrews 11, and as I began to read it, it clicked, and I think it will for you guys too. So Hebrews 11 is the iconic chapter of faith. Many have called the Hall of Faith, the hero men and women of old who kind of pioneered faith for us. Hebrews 11, I'll just kind of read a couple verses. I'm going to jump through it to get the highlights. It starts off with the iconic verse that is describing faith, and it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see, right? And it says, this is what the ancients were commended for. So God spoke things, and they had faith before they could see it. So verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham. So say, by faith. So by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would lay to receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Come on, how many know that takes some faith to go before and God says go? You're like, sounds good. Where? Just go. Yeah. All right. Okay, sounds good, God. Verse 9, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of that same promise, because he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder was God. I love this, verse 11. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear a child because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead. How many know that's an unfortunate description of yourself? You know Abraham's up there going, God, listen, I just have one thing. You know, what's up with this whole good as dead description of me that everyone's going to be reading for the next 1,000 years? That'd be great if we could get an edit, you know. But it says, he as good as dead came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Jump down to verse 17. It says, by faith, everyone say by faith. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac. Verse 24, jumping down, says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt. Verse 29, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. When the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. And verse 32, landing the plane here in these verses, it says, and what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, everyone say through faith. It says who through faith, they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Gained what was promised. So how do you take possession of the promises of God? Through faith. Through faith. If you're going to take possession, if you're going to do what God has set out for you, if you're going to accomplish the things that God has given you, the dreams, the passions, the desires, the call that's on your life, if C3 San Diego East Campus is going to take this region, is going to reach this region, you know what it's going to take? Faith. It's going to take a people of faith. It's going to take a stirring of faith to say, come on, God, we're going to go. Come on, God, we're going to take this region. We're going to take this city. It's going to take faith in your own life personally to take the business where God has called it, to take that ministry where God has called it, to take your family, to take your relationships, to take your health. It's going to take some faith. It's going to take to be stirred up and to actually step into faith. If you want to take possession of the promises of God, it's going to happen through faith. Now, if you're honest, though, that's great. You know, chucking out and shouting faith kind of preaches well. But if you're like me, maybe sometimes you just, like, I'm on the edge. I'm preaching. I'm telling you, hey, listen. I got the secret to take possession of the promises of God. You're pumped, you're excited, you feel like I'm about to unveil a big secret, and all of a sudden I say, it's faith, and you're like, oh, crap. I was hoping for some I could really do something with, you know? Faith, yeah, great, woo! You know, church word, you know, it's like, you know, yeah, another message on faith, this will be good. If you're feeling that way, maybe you don't quite understand faith. I think sometimes we just think of faith as like a feeling, you know, it's like happiness, you know, joy, peace. And it's like some of those words, we love them. We love faith. We love peace. We love love. We love joy. We love all those concepts and those emotions and those feelings. But sometimes it's like, how do you get a handle on that? You know what I mean? Like, what does that look like? How do I actually, you know, embrace this concept? How do I live in faith, operate in faith? Because it's pretty important. The Bible says, without faith, I can't even please God. You know what I mean? That's kind of a big deal. I need to obviously have some faith then. But how do I actually do this thing? How do I walk and live a life of faith? And here's a verse that I think will help us kind of unlock, because really when you're looking at Hebrews chapter 11, the secret is in the verses. It's actually not that hidden. But James 2:17, I think, kind of helps us see it. It says this, in the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by actions, is dead. If it's not accompanied, if you're believing, it's not accompanied by actions, then it's dead, right? If you look throughout Hebrews chapter 11, all these great men and women of faith and who did amazing things, what was the consistent thing? God said something and then they did it, right? God called them and they went. You know what I mean? There was an action associated with what God had said. And they went before they had all the details. They went before they understood everything. They just went in response to the word of God, right? And they followed it. And as they stepped, that's where you'll find the power meets you, right? Faith is not just really intense believing. It's not like, I got to have faith. So you're like whatever your intense face is, it doesn't mean you just make that face and, okay, I cross from just kind of hoping to belief and faith. You know what I mean? It's not just a feeling. It is a faith that comes out of the inside of you, but it materializes in action. It materializes with me stepping. So I always want to encourage you to trust God and then take a step. If you're not stepping, chances are you aren't in faith, right? Faith isn't passive. Faith is not a sit back and let God do it all for me. Faith is an action. Faith is movement. Faith is stepping in the direction that God has called us. So basically, faith is an obedient next step. Whatever you know to do, do that. Take that step. go for it. Step in that direction. You may not have it all figured out. You may not know all the answers, but keep stepping. Yeah. Keep moving in the direction that God has called you. So if we're going to kind of have an obedient response to God, there's a couple of ways. I just want to drill it down a little bit more. As first as we want to obediently respond to the Word of God. To the Word of God. You know, this isn't just for preachers. I think we know that here at C3, right? It's for all of us, right? The Word of God, the beautiful thing is the Word of God is packed full of promises from God. God has promises so much in His Word. From cover to cover, there is just pages and pages of God speaking to us, declaring things to us, giving us things. But many Christians do not live at the level of the promises of God. They're in His Word. Is it because God has favorites? Is it because God blesses some people and not others? Is it only, you know, some people get the 30X, some of us only get the 1X? You know what I mean? Why is it that some people aren't living it? You know, I think a lot of it is just because we're not doing what it says. We're not doing what the Bible says. And it's not because y'all woke up today and said, you know what, today I'm going to make it my goal to break as many biblical commandments as possible. And we're just going to go for it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to hit the list, you know, and see how many I can break. Probably not. Probably never been your agenda. But you know what? Many people are not in alignment. Their life is not in obedience to the Word of God simply because they just don't know what the Bible says. You just don't know it. And you can only get so much by hearing a message once a week on Sunday. You know what I mean? This word has got to be in our life daily, but here's the deal. It's not a religious thing that we do out of obligation to please God, as in to make Him like us more. Here's the good news. Even if you never read this book, but you put your faith in Jesus, you still get to go to heaven. There's no entrance exam at the pearly gates. There is no test. Some of y'all got real relieved all of a sudden. You know what I mean? Like, there is no entrance test that we have to take when we get up to heaven. I don't really read this because I got to get enough good points on my good versus bad ratio to make God love me or give me access to heaven. But I read this not because it makes God love me, but when I read it, I find out how much He loves me, right? I don't read it to earn His favor, but I read it and realize that, man, I'm telling you what, when I obey this word, I get the favor of God in return on my life. It's a flow of favor. You know what? It's like the law of gravity. You're going to deal with it whether you like it or not. Every single one of us right now are dealing with gravity. That's why your pastor said, don't get too close to the edge of this stage or I'm going to be dealing with gravity. You know, sometimes you get fired up in preaching, especially if you got your eyes closed and I'm praying at the end and I take a step. Trust God and take a step, y'all. Come on, somebody. But you got to get, if you want the promises of God, you got to obey the Word of God, right? And it's not a trick. There's no secret to it. It's just simply the more I get my life in alignment with the Word of God, the more the promises of God begin to show up in my life. And if you're new to following Christ, one of the things I want to encourage you is stay with it, right? Stay in the game. Because a lot of times when we come out of, you know, a different way of living, kind of away from God, and all of a sudden I come into church and I give my life to Christ and I begin to follow Jesus, if everything doesn't instantly get better in my life, I can get discouraged. But I just want to tell you what, it's coming, right? It's a journey of faith in following Christ. And the more I obey the Word of God, little by little, by little, by little, then all of a sudden that fruit begins to show up in my life. And you just got to stay faithful because you're in a process of transformation. So everything's not going to be perfect as soon as you snap your fingers, decide to give your life to Christ, and you're like, wait, why do I still have problems? Because you've been creating problems for a long time. And now you get to change your life little by little by obeying the Word. And before you know it, a year from now, 6 months from now, your life will look completely different. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, the transformation. I bet we could have 100 stories in here right now of people saying, you know what, man, you wouldn't believe my life before Christ. And you look at them now and you're like, well, you got everything right. Everything's perfect for you. You got no problems. You know, you obviously, you know, were born into Christianity or something like that. No, it's just the unbelievable process of God's transformation, right? You follow him little by little by little, and God changes. It's amazing. So we want to get in obedience to God's word. You know, we're talking about tithes and offerings earlier. That's a great little example that sometimes people are, nah, I don't know if I really am into that. I don't know if I really want to fully commit to obeying to give that 10% of my income. I'm just telling you what, I've heard more testimonies of the power of God and miracles when a family has committed to say, you know what, we're going to bring the tithe. You know, we're going to do this. Now, we don't always understand it fully, but it's in here. So what if I just give it a shot? You know what I mean? Obey God's word. You know what I mean? Trust God. And I'm telling you what, the windows of heaven open up over your life. Favor. It's not like, you know, it's not like some slot machine where you're putting a couple coins in and hoping for a jackpot, right? I'm not talking about some magical exchange, but I am talking about a principle that God has set in advance that when I put him first, when I bring the first fruit, the 10%, when I do that, God's windows of favor open up over my life. And my wife and I, I'm 36, so whenever I started making my first money, I've been tithing. So I don't know if that's 30 years, 25 years, you know, whenever my parents started paying me for allowance or whatever. I've been tithing for that long. The windows of heaven have been opened up over my life, and I'm thankful for it. I'm not going to try to live life without tithing just to see what happens. God's faithfulness. So for me, I actually never had the, you know, I didn't want to tithe. I started tithing, and God did something awesome. But I've heard 100 of those stories, at least, of people just going, man, you wouldn't believe it, right? So I just bring that. That's one example. Obey God. Trust God. Do what God's word says. Forgiveness is another great one. You know, sometimes it's hard. It's hard to forgive, but the Bible says to forgive. But I'm telling you what, if you just trust, it doesn't make sense. And man, they wronged you and they hurt you and they abused you and they don't deserve it. And maybe they legitimately do not deserve your forgiveness. But it's not about them deserving it. It's about Jesus has forgiven you and me. And so now I turn and release that same forgiveness towards other people. And when I do that, man, refreshing will come. A release in your own life will come. You know, if we hold things against other people, God's saying, listen, don't try to come to me and asking me to forgive you when you refuse to release somebody else. It's actually one of the only things that really talks about when it comes to hindering prayer is actually not forgiving other people, right? So obey God's word and watch a release of favor and flow and miracles in your life. Amen? Okay. So get your life into alignment with the word of God, right? This is the measuring rod. This book, this is the tool that we use to measure our lives with. The more I'm in alignment with this, the more God's promises flow in my life. And also the Holy Spirit. Right? We know by the word that Jesus came, he died on the cross for our sins, he rose from the dead and to give us life, and then he ascended to the right hand of the Father, but sent his Holy Spirit on earth so that he can be in every single one of us all at the same time, guiding us, empowering us, connecting us to the Father in the most unbelievable way, right? So we have this access to God. We have this Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit will speak to you and tell you to do things, guide you, lead you. Make sure that you are listening and obeying to the Holy Spirit, right? If you feel that sense of nudge of God leading you, respond to it. Don't disobey. You know, sometimes people want to know, man, I'm trying to hear God's voice better. Well, it just feels like God's not talking to me. Well, here's a great, this little thought. What's the last thing you felt God did say to you? And if you haven't done that yet, do that. Because a lot of times it's like, it's a little bit like with your kid, when they want something, you're like, have you finished what I asked you to do? Do that, then we'll talk. Yeah, but mom, yeah, but dad, I want, listen, I know you want something, but do that. Clean that up. Fix that, you know. And then come back and talk to me, right? So it's this exchange with us and God as a good father, right? To where he's going to engage with us, he's going to call us, he's going to invite us, he's going to challenge us to do things, and we need to learn how to listen. Now, obviously, just as a point of clarification, the Holy Spirit and the Word always sound the same. Right? So the Holy Spirit's never going to tell you to do something rogue that's not in the Bible, right? And actually, if you're like, man, how do I hear the Holy Spirit better? Read this more. It's the exact same voice. Yeah, right? The Holy Spirit inspired the written Word of God. So the more I read the Bible, the more I recognize the Holy Spirit's voice, right? So that's that'll help you. I know help me. Okay, so what we got to do is trust God and then take a step. Step of obedience towards God's word. Step of obedience towards the Holy Spirit. Trust God and take a step. You know, for Katie and I, we've been down here in the San Diego area now and with C3 for about 3 years. But we were originally from Minnesota. Shout out to the Midwest if there's anybody who's migrated from the snow. Yeah, come on, somebody. How many know this is the promised land? Come on. Come on. We moved from Minnesota to Seattle down to San Diego. I'm just telling you what, the Lord's good. The Lord is good. From snow to rain to sunshine. Come on. I have friends from those two regions of the world, and I'm talking to them. They're like, hey, how you doing? Like, how's San Diego? I'm like, do you actually want me to answer that? Like, you want me to tell you about my life in San Diego? Like, that's like an actual question you're asking, because it's going to just annoy you. You know what I mean? So I'm going to tell you about how I was at the beach, you know what I mean, and all that kind of stuff. Our relatives in Minnesota were having like 12 inches of snow while we're at the beach and enjoying the sun. I actually am a punk. We have a Facebook thread with my family, and they're all posting pictures of snow. And then like hours later, because we were at the beach, I came back and said, oh, sorry, I missed these post, I was at the beach. So I'm the worst. Okay. So we were pastoring up in Seattle for about 15 years and did a variety of things up there, and then just really felt God beginning to speak to us to take a step out from being on staff there and stepping out into traveling and preaching, encouraging churches, writing, and God's done unbelievable things. And now kind of a quick fast forward, I'm going to fill in the gaps for a second, but you fast forward, and now we're just love being a part of C3 Church. We need to be a part of the North Campus. We're part of the C3 America's team, where we get the chance to just help encourage the overall movement all around the nation. And we got a chance to write this book. It's called Following Jesus. This is a book that we give out here at our location, but churches all over the world do. Actually, in over 6 nations, it's being used. It's in 2 languages and more languages coming. And we've seen in just the first couple years, we've seen over 130,000 of these books distributed around the world. Right? Let's give God praise for that. So we're sitting in a really cool season right now, and God's continuing to 30X us, right? Amen. Come on, somebody. We need to hang out. Got to rub off a little bit more of that 30X. But you know what? It was a journey between God calling us out of Seattle to what I'm standing here right now. Right? That process of the last 3 years had what a lot of you guys understand about a little bit of blood, sweat, and tears. You know what I mean? Some, oh my God, help me parts of that 3 years. And I'm so thankful for what God is doing right now, and God is continuing to expand our vision. God said, I want you to disciple 1 million people, so we're on our way. I'm sure that will turn into 1 billion once we hit 1 million, but God's doing some incredible things. But when we first stepped out of Seattle to come down here, it was exciting. Felt a little bit like when Peter and the disciples were in the boat, and Jesus calls Peter out of the boat. First of all, I just love that Jesus did the ultimate unnecessary show-off move. You know what I'm saying? Jesus had no need to physically walk on the water to get to that boat, right? That was just purely, I'm God, I'm going to show off a little bit. You know what I mean? So he just walks out. I mean, he could have appeared in the boat. He could have given them temporary amnesia, and then they woke up, and he's in the boat, and they just thought he was there the whole time. He could have transported the boat, you know, to the other side instantly. There's a lot of things he could have done, but he's like, you know what? This will be fun. You know what I mean? I'm going to walk on the water. So he does it, and he gets out there. They freak out. Oh, my God, it's a ghost. He's like, guys, it's me. And Pete's like, if it's you, tell me to come. Jesus says, come. Zero water walking instructions of any kind. All he tells Peter is just come. And Peter is crazy enough to go for it. He just jumps out of the boat, begins to walk towards Jesus. Kenny and I kind of felt like that. I mean, we knew we had clearly heard God to step out into this season. Right? There was prophetic words, there was natural and supernatural situations that all lined up very obviously. It was like, I know this is Jesus. I can hear him saying, come. This is not a mistake. This is obvious. God is in this thing, right? But how many know sometimes after you step out of the boat, after you begin to take some steps of faith, then all of a sudden you start looking at wind and waves a little bit. You know what I mean? And so when we first got down here, we left all the kind of larger church paycheck security, come down to no salary of any kind. And, got a little rockier, got a little bit more difficult, got a little bit more of a strain. And honestly, the money wasn't coming as fast in as I wanted, but was going out faster than I had anticipated, right? So we come to one of these moments, one of these nights where it was kind of a fighting for faith, fighting to stay in faith as we were trusting God. And Katie had been doing some real estate, a couple of deals that we just kind of found out had fallen through, which was going to be a pretty big support to us in that moment. And I just put my daughters to bed and I'd come out and, you know, Katie's putting some dishes away and she's a little discouraged. I'm feeling it too, but we're just like, come on, let's encourage each other. Let's fight for this moment. And, you know, she had really kind of, you know, the statement, we trust Jesus, had really become a mantra that had come out of Katie's heart. And so I was like, come on, babe. Jesus, come on, we got this. Okay, are you having flashbacks thinking about a few years ago right now? I just thank God we're here. But that was not a fun moment, right? And so we're in that moment, and I'm trying to just kind of reverbalize everything that God said to us that made us confident that we should be down here right now, and just retelling the stories and retelling the prophetic words. It's so key when you're trying to fight for faith to hold on to what God said, right? To not let it go, to stay clear on what God has said. But I was like, man, you know, if God wants to, you know, a fridge was getting really empty. We were wondering when the next check was going to come to be able to, you know, go grocery shopping. And I said, man, you know, God wants to, he can bring food to our doorstep, kind of like the prophet in the wilderness in the Old Testament. God sent birds with these ravens to bring food. So I just said, man, God can bring food to our doorstep tomorrow if he wants to. And so we just said, okay, come on, let's pray. You know how when you're in the middle of a fight for faith, the best way I can describe that prayer is like a prayer, like a molasses prayer. It just felt like slow as molasses, just tough, you know? And you're just fighting for it. Come on, God, we're looking to you. We're trusting you. We're going to believe you. And right in the middle of that, I still to this day don't understand why, but my eldest daughter has never done this before or since, comes out of bed and just smacks me in the butt as hard as possible, right in the middle of that prayer. I mean, we're in it. We're like focused. We're trying to trust God. We're working up every ounce of faith we can. And my daughter just hits me in the butt. I don't know if that was God or the enemy. I don't know what. I still don't understand what all God was trying to do in that moment. But I was like, get back in bed. What are you doing? And just ended the prayer pretty poorly. Just amen, whatever. You know, let's go to bed. And the next morning, God just proved his faithfulness. God proved that he is the God. When he calls, he completes. When he calls, he sees us through. So I wanted to show you a fun photo of what we saw the next morning when we woke up and walked outside our front door. Go ahead and show this photo here. This was a stack of these Amazon Fresh boxes. Amazon Fresh, you can order food and it delivers to your doorstep. What we didn't know is that corresponding with our faith and declaration, that God had prompted somebody to order hundreds of dollars of food and sent to our doorstep the next morning. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you what, God's faithful. No matter what you're facing, no matter how difficult the situation might be, God is able and he's faithful to see you through. Come on. That was my screensaver for a while. And then God said, take it down. I got better things for you. I said, come on. I mean, I love it when God does supernatural miracles like that. But you know what? God also then, he did two specific crazy miracles like that. And then he gave us ideas to create wealth, right? Because ultimately, God wants to see you in prosperity, not like, oh my God, we can't make it every day, right? That's where God's ultimately taking you. He's in a land of prosperity, land of favor, land of blessing. But I'm thankful for these moments to remind me that I'm not alone, that God sees me, and that if God called me, he will see me through it. He will fulfill his promises to me. Amen? As we close here, and then I want to pray for you, I want to just draw our attention back to Hebrews chapter 11, because if you're going to stay in faith as you're trusting God and taking the steps, there's going to be the fear, there's going to be the wind and waves, there's going to be the doubts. But what we have to do, and what we did that night in prayer, was Hebrews 11 verse 11, he draws back to one of the heroes of that chapter, her name is Sarah. She was the one, her and her husband Abraham had been promised to have a baby, and here they are well advanced in years, as in it ain't going to happen no more, right? Babies aren't coming from these two. This is to the realm of impossibility. And you know, sometimes it's easy to trust God when I can still work it out naturally, when I can still kind of put the pieces together in my mind of how this is going to come to pass. But what do you do when you're literally beyond the possibility of you naturally being able to make it happen? And that's where she finds herself. It's impossible now. 100% impossible. But what does she do? She turns her eyes back to God. She puts her eyes on Jesus again. She considers, the Bible says, she was enabled to bear a child because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. I want to encourage you this morning, consider the promiser again. You see, the promise is as good as the one who makes it, right? And I'll tell you what, our Father has an unbelievable track record. Our Father is the Father of faithfully fulfilling the promises that he gives to his children. And the promiser, he's not just some human being. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, right? The one who promised you, the one who gave you that dream, the one who put that thing in on the inside of you, the one who called you, the one who spoke something into you, the one who brought that dream on the inside of you is not some human, not just some hyped up person, not even some pastor. Man, that is the heaven and earth creator, the star breather, the one who rose Jesus from the dead, the one who shaped the planet, the Father in heaven. He's all powerful. He is able to fulfill the purposes that he's given you. What is that thing that you've dreamt about? What is that thing that God spoke to you about? Keep trusting him. Consider again. Get your eyes off the wind and the waves. Get it back on Jesus. I'm thankful that story with Peter didn't end with Peter drowning and Jesus going, next. Can you imagine that? Pete walks on the water, he drowns, and Jesus just looks back at the boat and says, anybody else? You know what I mean? Like, that would have been a bummer of a story. Thankfully, Jesus, he reaches out. He grabs him. And the beautiful thing is, which we don't talk a lot about, is Peter walked on the water again. He walked on the water with Jesus back to the boat. When we get our eyes on Jesus, then we can continue to stay in faith, to step into the promises of God. God's got more for you. God's got things yet for you to accomplish. You will fulfill them by faith, right? And faith is a faith of action. You take steps, and as you're stepping, until you see it and with your natural eye, you just got to begin to keep your eyes on Jesus, keep your eyes on the promiser. He will see you through. He is faithful. He will complete it. He's faithful. He will complete it. Amen? If you got some out of the word, why don't you give Jesus a hand clap of praise this morning. I want to invite us all to stand up as we close out here. I want to pray with you guys this morning. If you're here and you say, you know what, a couple areas. One is maybe you got some fear about stepping into that thing you know God is speaking to you about. I want to pray for you for boldness. I'm going to pray against the fear that's holding you back. Maybe you're falling in the category of somebody you've already stepped out, but now you're water walking and you're like, oh my Lord, help me, Jesus. You know, I feel like I'm about to sink. and you say, man, I need faith. I need courage to keep stepping. I need courage to keep moving in the direction God's called me. Or maybe there's some in the room, man, it feels like that dream that God gave you is dead. It's over. It's gone. And God's stirring something again in you. God's breathing fresh life in that dream again. God's saying it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, if God has promised you something, if God has spoke something to you, then He wants to fulfill that promise in your lifetime. Amen? Amen. So either one of those situations, I want to pray with you. If that's you, just go lift up your hand so I know who I'm praying with around the room. You say, that's me. That's me. Need that? Okay. I assume it'd be a lot of us because we're all in different fights of faith and different steps of the journey. What I want to do, though, we just want to pray with you real quick. Could you just make your way out of your seat? I know, it's a journey, but it's worth it. Make your way out of your seat. Come down here to the front. We want to pray with you. Come on, there's power and agreement. Come on, make your way out of your seat. Come down here to the front. Let's pray together. We want to lay hands on you. Going to release some faith this morning. Come on. Come on up. Awesome. Awesome. Come on, God's speaking. God's going to release some fresh faith in your life. God's going to open up some doors in your life. God's going to unlock some things in your life. Amen? Amen. You don't have to just, kind of go through life, maybe even beaten up or discouraged. Man, God is awakening some things in your life right now. So, church, why don't you extend your hands forward to those who are up front here. We just want to pray with every single one of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just declare your healing. We declare your strength. We declare fresh fire again, fresh passion again, fresh anointing again to do everything that you've called them to do. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're opening the doors. God, I thank you that you're for them and you're not against them. Thank you, God, that your hand is with them. Thank you, God, that you're speaking right now, that you're unlocking some fresh ideas and strategy right now. God, I thank you that you're giving them faith to step and to keep stepping in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your mercy. God, I thank you for your touch on their life right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, fresh strength, God. Fresh touch of your presence, God. Release, God. Open up the doors in their life. Open up, God. Let the ceiling be lifted off of their life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for your purpose, God, that you see and you know in the name of Jesus. God, fresh touch, awaken in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Faith, strength in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Michael and Lisa as well. I was just praying for this weekend, just knowing that God's hand is on your life. And I just felt this kind of word reminder of when God said to Abraham, lift up your eyes and look. Lift up your eyes and see. God has given you what you can see. God has given you where you see. Will you dare enough to look up and see at a level, look farther than you've ever looked before, dream bigger than you've ever looked before? God will give you what you see. God will get, go walk around in it. Go take steps in it. Go move in it. God has given you what you see in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you. We just come against any fear, any lie of the enemy that would hold us back from taking possession of the promises of God. The enemy is a liar, and we thank you that with you all things are possible, God. We thank you that you're for us and not against us. God, I thank you that doors are opening this week. Connections are getting aligned this week. I thank you, God, as they take steps in the direction that you've called them. God, let your supernatural power meet them in a way they could never have imagined. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, before I hand it back over to Pastor, I just want to ask one final question about our relationship with God. Maybe you're in the room here this morning and you've been coming to church for a while, or maybe this is your first time, and you're honest, if you look at your life, you go, you know what, honestly, my relationship with God is just, it's not right. It's not good. Something's off. Maybe you've never made the decision to really come to God and receive the grace, receive forgiveness for your sins. He died on the cross because he wants to bring you close, right? He loves you. The last thing he would want is anybody on the planet to be at a distance from him. He loves you so much, he just invites you to come close, right? And we do that through putting our faith in Jesus, right? And what he did on the cross. So whether you've never made that decision, and this is your moment right now where you're gonna respond to Christ and give your life to him and to follow him, or maybe you've been, you've done that in the past, and be just honest about your life right now. You're just like, man, I feel like I'm away from God, and this is my moment to come home to Jesus, to come back in relationship. Can you just close your eyes around the room and just ask and answer that question in your own heart right now, where you're at? Where are you at? On the count of three, I'm just gonna have you raise your hand if you say, you know what, I wanna get my life right with God this morning. I feel like I'm distant from him and I wanna change that right now. I wanna come home to Jesus. I wanna come back in relationship. I wanna get things right with God. I don't wanna leave here questioning it. I don't wanna leave here wondering about it. I want today to be the day where I get my life back in relationship with God right here. On the count of three, if that's you, just want you to lift up your hand. I'm gonna pray with you. You're right where you're at. One, two, three. Lift up your hand. Let me see who I'm praying with. Awesome, awesome. Fantastic. Great. See your hands. Anybody else? You see that? You lift up nice and high so I can see who I'm praying with. Know who I'm believing with. Awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else? You see, that's me. Don't miss a moment. Don't miss a moment. This is so powerful, so important. Big moment right here. Get a chance to say, you know what, Jesus, tired of my own way. I'm surrendering to your way. Don't leave here without making that choice. If that's you and you haven't already lifted up your hand, lift up your hand. Let me see who you are. I want to pray with you this morning. Come on. Awesome. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're all going to pray together with you as a church family. And those of you who just raise your hand especially, Pastor will give you some more instructions. But we got a gift we want to get into your hands. We want to help you in these next steps. You're not alone. You're part of family, right? And this journey of following Jesus is not just something you have to do by yourself. We walk together. We walk together as a family. So, church, let's all pray together. And especially those who just raised your hand, you just know that God loves you and he's responding to you right now, forgiving you of all your sin and bringing you back close to him again. Okay, church, say this. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for my sin and raise him from the dead to give me life. Jesus, today I choose to follow you with all my heart for the rest of my life. You're my leader, you're my Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.